Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee. I don't know why I was going to say that. That's Oblivion Comics and Coffee. This is Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one geek and gaming podcast, because I said so. Joining us back, as always, David Webb. What's up?
What's going on, everybody?
How you been, David?
Good. I almost jumped in there and helped you out.
I appreciate that.
With that intro.
The important part is the almost, and then he decided to let you just flail.
Well, no, he did the right thing, because last week we had a similar experience. If you guys listened to the weekend episode, David Webb was in the hosting chair, and as soon as the music hit, he was like a deer in the headlights, because he was like checking his Instagram or something.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I was forgot he was hosting. Yeah. And then I was, what's up, that's my cue, what's going on, everybody?
It was a great show. Emma, you'll be proud to know that your boys held it down, and we talked about...
Oh, I've never called you that in my life.
You never call us your boys?
No.
Ever? Will you?
No.
Someday? Can we get there?
No.
Anyways, it was a great show because we talked about video games.
There
was
I am proud of you.
Very little Prince talk. Like, almost...
The bar is low, minor. I'm proud.
He did come up.
Okay, yeah. Emma, we got to be honest with you.
You know what? Somebody on the fucking Twitter reply said something about Prince, and I was like, these fucking guys.
I want it known for the record, in case nobody's gone back and listened to the Prince episode yet. I shouldn't be lumped in. I said very little that episode.
Exactly. You said nothing. You let it happen.
I'm just so proud to say we have a Prince episode. Like,
yeah, right?
I'm so stoked.
It's a badge of honor.
Curtis, what's going on, man?
Oh, man. Speaking of Prince and princes, just my kings. That's the only thing that's really good.
I know. You can always tell. I think the listeners know when there's a king.
NBA
2K. Well,
the kings are in NBA 2K.
And
bam. But are you talking about 2K?
The 2K draft just happened. I just talked about 2K.
I didn't see that in the news, but they broke ground. Some history. They drafted their first female gamer lady player into the league.
This is true. This is very true.
Oh my god! I have the perfect dress that she could wear.
I hate. Oh, I hate
we're getting
all
there.
Of you.
We're getting there early. Segue.
Corey's like, I want to talk about this on the show. I'm like, oh, do we really need to though?
Okay, hang on. I wasn't here for that.
We really need to, though.
So, Emma, your boys...
I hate all of you.
Over
at... Yeah, that's boys with a Z.
Yeah, your boys with a Z.
Your boys.
I'm going to go.
Little B, zero. YZ. Your boys. Emma, you were gone, and you missed two episodes. We missed you dearly. But while you were away, you were off making waves across the internet when you went front page Reddit?
Oh, that was last week, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was last week.
Yeah. But for something completely different.
You went viral.
That is quite the segue. Well, something completely unrelated.
We'll come back to it because I think it all comes together eventually. Your first viral sensation was front page Reddit when you and Ray Ray cosplay play.
Why? That's not my first. That's not the first time I've
Okay, we also, haven't all I'm, had the chance to saying. Have two 15 minutes of
also,
fame.
We should say that Emma Skies is on the show, everybody.
Emma Skies is on the show. Everybody knows she's on the show.
Well, everybody else got an
intro.
This
is why they're here. She's here. Yeah, they're here. So you went viral on Reddit yet again, and then you went viral on Twitter when you replied to... Okay, so...
This is a mess. One thing at a time. What's the first thing that you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the dresses.
Okay.
To be honest, we got to talk about the dresses.
We'll talk about the dresses.
What's the name of the company?
Cranium Apparel.
Okay, good.
Are you okay?
Because that's what they weren't using when they made these.
Are you okay? Do we all need a reset?
Oh,
are we good?
No, you know, you're not the first person to ask me that today.
Are you okay?
I'm going to drink some water while Emma tells the story of the of
Why
the
do I
dresses.
Have to tell this shitty story about this stupid company?
Everybody knows deep down you want to.
I don't, though. I was the one that told you we're not going to talk about this.
Your boys decided... But Emma should be the one to talk about this because I'm not of
Curtis
of mind.
And Webb, you guys co-signing on that? I'm so sorry, Webb's face when I accidentally called him Corey.
I posted two times.
I'm so sorry.
Just because we're both white and have beards, Emma.
I'm so sorry.
This is all the way off the rails already.
This show is the most Run chaotic back. Show.
I'm 2 seconds from hitting the reset button. We just talked about consoles. Remember reset buttons?
Yeah, I do. They don't have those anymore.
So Cranium did not use their cranium. They made an error. I took your joke. We're the same guy anyways, apparently. They made...
Never do that to
this
Web.
Is actually monumental. Like, long have women needed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
A pretty little dress.
Mm-hmm. Pretty's a strong fucking
podcast,
word for
you
this
guys
thing.
Can't see this, but I'm moonwalking out of the room very carefully.
This was, okay, I felt so bad. Like, this was like.
I don't even feel bad.
No, I felt bad in the sense of like when you watch The Office and you see Michael Scott do something really stupid and then make it even worse and worse, like one of those cringe fest moments.
Yeah,
this was an IRL like cringe fest.
The roast episode.
I didn't even, like, when I first saw it, I thought it was, like, I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is like, this is going to be the meme of the day. Like, someone really went in, you know, really got in Photoshop and made a nice little graphic, because this is comedy, right?
Yeah.
I did. That shows you how ignorant I am to what's going on.
Or how ignorant they are to what anything should look like.
Pretty much.
Should we actually, now that we're talking about it, say what it is? Because we're just talking around it.
Please. And I love the way you read the tweet. So please read the tweet.
Oh, for the love of God. Okay. So Cream Apparel puts out a tweet. And this is all caps, mind you. All caps. Get ready, female gaming community. Woman emoji. Esports dress now available. Dress emoji. It's high time that we do something for the female gamers who receive so much backlash in the community. Stay strong. We respect you. Heart emoji. Proudly supporting hashtag women in esports. Tag every female gamer you know. Nail polish emoji.
Oh, that's how they ended it. That was the bad one.
Oh, God. And then, like, there's a picture of this really awful, hideous dress. It basically looks like if you took a gaming chair and made it into a woman, and that's what somebody thought this should look like.
You know what?
It's real bad. And you can't forget, there's a titty zipper. You can't forget.
I did not
know. There's a zipper right there, so you can control how much of your boobs you want to show, which is just super necessary.
Wow. Just like in character
creation. And it, like, the graphic says, never before seen in esports. High quality polyester, skin friendly. Gives a new identity to female gamers.
That's skin-friendly thing. Because
that's what we need for our identities is a hideous little dress. This is just like, it was just bad on all parts. Like, it was just embarrassing.
Now, I have a question, though. I have a question.
Yes.
Because this stuff's coming up. We understand the times that we're in. We're making progress across the board on certain things, and then the things that we're not, people are talking about, people are protesting about in our very city. So these are political times. But my question is, like, they've obviously failed miserably. Like, I literally thought that was a joke. We come to find out it's not. The way that you read it is hilarious. What do you say to someone who really feels like they're, like, authentically trying to appeal? They're not like malicious.
Right.
They're utterly ignorant.
Right.
They're not malicious. Like, how do you approach someone that does something like that? It fails epically on this level.
I mean, you kind of say what a lot of women then went into their comments and said, because one woman went in and said, mm-hmm. you know, she said, was there a single woman that was consulted in designing or making this? And they said, unfortunately, no, but, and it's like nothing after that mattered.
Yeah.
They're like, so then you kind of, and then you say the same thing that I ended up tweeting at them, which was, you know, they asked, you know, what, you know, clearly this got a lot of criticism. So what right. do you think we could do to change
Feedback,
this?
Yeah.
And I said, female employees, female mm-hmm. designers, mm-hmm. female copywriters. Like mm-hmm. if a woman had had input on any of this, mm-hmm. you would not have had as big of an issue because this wouldn't have happened. If you had women in positions where they could tell you that, you know, this is a bad idea and this is going to piss people off and you will actually listen to that person, that's a good first step.
I think that's fair.
So, you know, you kind of go at it with like, you know, this is bad. This is really bad. And you need to know that you fucked up royally. Yep. And like, but like, here are some ways, you know, here's a very quick like start here. Mm-hmm. You know, fix this thing and then other things will fall into place. And like, just stop trying to, it was bad on every level.
It's tragic. It's tragic, so but you got a good tweet out of it. That's for sure. Some crazy good engagement from your auto-corrected tweet.
My fucking auto-corrected tweet that said it looked like a shaming chair. And then I couldn't figure out why my notifications were blowing up. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And like 900 likes later, I'm like, oh, I fucking spelled that wrong.
Can I disclose some information to you guys?
Maybe.
I work in Twitter and social media and stuff, so I have a spare account. And this is an account nobody knows about.
The burner.
It's very private. And I just use it to
kind
of...
Your Smurf account.
It's my Smurf, and I troll people with it. But
not
like, not
at all surprising.
But not mean things. Like, I don't go in there and bash people or things like that. But yeah. The name, I change my name to 10,000 likes. And what I do is I go find something very obscure. Like, someone took a picture of their McDonald's.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody's ever going to respond to it. The guy has one follower.
Yeah.
And I like it. So that... And I tested this on my account. So it says... Your tweet has 10,000 was liked by 10,000 people because my account's name is 10,000 people.
That's horrible.
I just get off on the fact that knowing that for a second they're like, oh my god, I'm viral, and then they see it was just some troll account.
That's horrible.
That's and then the they kind report of, you. That's the kind of guy I am. Yeah. So
we're done with that, right?
We're done.
Okay.
We have a new segment on the show because we have some great sponsors. One of them is Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and that is Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee. And they also entrust Curtis as a sage of information, and so they pick a comic book of the week, and then Curtis goes through, reads it, does his research, and then he reports back to you guys on why you should be reading it. And what do we have this week, Curtis?
Ooh. For all the people that are listening, I just put up the Doomsday Clock issue number 9 from DC. So Doomsday Clock, an event that started, oh, gosh, well, it's been delayed actually quite a few times.
Yeah.
So I want to say it started back in 2018, but I think it actually started in 2017. Someone can fact check me. But it is kind of what came out of the whole rebirth thing that DC went through, ending the New 52, bringing back some of the older characters that people missed, like the, well, there's two Wally West, so the Caucasian Wally West, and a bunch of other characters. And with that, at the end of Rebirth, I'm going to spoil it just a little bit because it's been more than 2 years now, but at the it's an event, all the DC characters are obviously in it, and at the end of it, we're introduced to Dr. Manhattan, and we are hinted to Dr. Manhattan, but we find the button from the Watchmen, the comedian's pen, the little smiley.
I do remember that going big. So did that finally develop into something? Or?
This is what that turned into. It's just it kept getting delayed so much. Like people were just like we never got the full story. And I will say, as impressed as I was with this comic, the overall story. It's better served kind of all in one setting than a tri-monthly.
Yeah.
Emma said, like, when you're waiting so far in between. But pretty much where we're at now with this is pretty interesting. We know all the players involved. The story's moving along. And again, it's a non-spoiler review, so I'm not going to be giving away a lot of things. But some of the things that I will say about it, it very much feels like the Watchmen graphic novel.
Is that a good thing? I would say that, like, that's like grittier, right? More real.
Yeah, it is gritty. I'm one of those people. I'm kind of torn when it comes to stuff like that. I don't have a problem with watching violence within reason, like when it's not like gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
But there's tons of debates going on in comics and stuff like that. An internal debate that I have is kind of along stuff like this, like when it's too violent, or not, I don't want to say too violent, but when it's so violent and it's so dark and we're deconstructing the characters, like it can go both ways. We can get into like an Old Man Logan situation where it's like, you know, we're partially deconstructing Logan. And we're making him kind of even more of what he was. And then we get into situations like with Doomsday Clock, where I love what they're doing with the characters, but it's some of the stuff outside of the... It's kind of the Watchmen world coming in. You know, Watchmen, like you said, like gritty, you know, kind of, I don't know, hyper-realistic.
Oh, God.
And I think that's what I'm torn at. The writing is incredible. It's Geoff Johns. So, like... everybody loves Geoff Johns, and if you don't love Geoff Johns, you just haven't read Geoff Johns yet. That's how it works in mine. That's not reality, but in my mind, that's how it works. So the way that he's transitioning in between scenes is awesome. His characterizations are always great. I love that he puts the spotlight kind of on someone who's not as usually not propped up on the pedestal. I will say, like, Firestorm, is someone who gets a spotlight, and for the perfect reason too. Like, he did look across the Watchmen universe and the DC universe and said, you know, like, not let me just look at the names, the big names will be in there, but for the core of it, who are two characters that really have, they're almost like on a collision course if these worlds really came together. So he picked the two perfect people. But I just struggle a little bit with the Watchmen world coming in with the D. It seems like it would make sense. Mm-hmm. Too dark, kind of realistic. But I think what Alan Moore did with the Watchmen, I'm starting to feel like now, I think they saw that it was difficult to put them together. So they were like, let's pick our best guy and see if he can do it. And I'm not saying he's not doing it, but this is 9 of 12. I got to get to the end to see if he's really going to pull it off. But as far as like, is it riveting? Is it pulling you in? I mean, it's when the comic writing is this good, I feel like I'm watching a show. And you definitely feel like you're watching a show when you're reading Doomsday.
So what's your review? Should people be picking this one up? Or
if you're more into just kind of like the normal superhero kind of stories, and even like old school kind of Flash from the 90s or like the Flash show, I would say read a few pages when you go into a comic store before you walk out with it. If you're just into like good writing, like I like or love these characters and I love good writing, get this thing while you can.
All right, that sounded good. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks for coming. And oh no, dang! Pulling out an old joke.
What you playing?
We haven't done What You Playing in a while. Basically, what happens is the podcast gods bestow upon us a wish so that we can pull out the best of what we've been playing, and it's been a fortnight. So. I heard a groan across the table.
Do you know how long a fortnight is?
I don't.
Because it's been longer than that.
Has it really?
Yes. Yeah. Fortnight is 14 days. It's 2 weeks.
Well, 4 score and 7 years ago.
It's been less time than that. There's
somewhere
a middle.
Between. Split the difference.
There's a middle in there.
You know, no one's really been playing Fortnite anymore.
That's why I groaned.
Because I have a feeling we've all been playing a lot of the same thing. Emma Skies, what you been playing?
Dead or Alive 6.
That's right.
Got him.
You thought I was going to say Apex, you fucking fool.
So okay, what are you thinking about?
There's good parts and there's bad parts. There's really good parts and there's really bad parts.
Wait, so this is a fighting game. What are the good parts? What are the bad parts?
So the good thing is that the good parts are the mechanics of the game. So the things that you are going to keep coming back for and the core part of the game, those are all very good. Like the fighting style is very good. The new power blows that they've added into the game. And the last one they had, what the fuck did they call them? Maybe there were power blows in the last one. I can't remember what the fuck they call them now. They changed their system for basically like almost sort of finishing moves, but they're not really finishing moves. So they're easier to do, but they are better, I think, in my opinion. So like the core fighting of the game, really good. The mechanics, all great. Like it's bomb.
All right.
The story's garbage.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, it's a fighting game.
I mean, yeah, it's a fighting game. What is the story?
That's a whole long thing that we don't have time for right now.
That bad?
I mean, you can't
just break it down like Tekken, King of Iron Fist Tournament. You want to win. Street Fighter, travel across the world and beat each other up.
Well, no, because there's multiple storylines, although really the only one that matters is the ninja storyline. But basically, ninja. Like, it's the sixth game in this series. There's a long, like, way to get to where we are now. But basically, this story was really, really bad. The way that they ran it was horrible. Like, the way they laid out the story is, the timeline that they put in is garbage. It was way too focused on two characters that I just fucking hate. So that sucked, like, personally. It was a whole thing. I was really, really upset about the story. And then the way that they did costume unlocks, because I don't know, like, you guys play other fighting games. I'm pretty much mainly Dead or Alive for fighting games.
Okay.
So the way Dead or Alive has always worked is that in the past for games 2, 3, and 4, the way that the story, the quote-unquote story worked, is that you would just pick a character and play their story mode, and it's like 8 matches.
Okay.
And then at the end of that, when you play it, you know, you finish that arcade mode, that story mode, you get a costume. And okay. So, you know, you play it multiple times, you get multiple costumes, and some of them had a bunch. Or I think the way it worked in 5, when they didn't do that as much, as you kind of unlocked it as you went, but you just unlocked costumes. They decided to change that this time around, because that's always a good idea. So the way it works now is that in, like, online or in survival mode or in time attack or arcade or whatever, you get costume pattern pieces.
No.
Yeah. So you get costume pattern pieces.
Oh, wow.
And you don't get very many. Like, we're in a mode right now where, like, because of the launch of the game, they upped it by, like, 10 times. Mm-hmm. So you get 10 times more than you usually would. And you can get, like, 200 points. They can get, like, 200 pieces for doing a single round of quest, like, a single quest mode.
Okay.
Each of these costumes is anywhere from 200 to 1,000 points.
What?
And we're in 10 times. And the absolute shittiest part is they're all randomized.
No, so you can't. Okay.
You can't. You're like, I want to unlock costumes for this character. You can't fucking do that.
Oh, can you? Can you buy it?
Nope. Well, not yet. You probably will be able to, because I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be for microtransactions.
Yeah.
The nice thing is that, like, 2 days after the game came out, people were fucking furious, and they're like, nope, we're changing it. We're not doing that. It's not going to be random anymore. No more random. Mid-March, please don't be mad at us.
Yeah. So sorry. We're so sorry.
So in the mid-March patch, they're gonna change that. But, like, yeah, so and then some of the graphics are really bad. Like, they just got skipped over. It's a whole thing. I could talk for a long time about it. And I did. I made a YouTube video about it.
Yeah, check that out. Your YouTube's been popping off. You got a video a month?
Is that, that's what I'm trying to do. Goal? Yeah. Which is a lot for me.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
So I don't really do videos. But yeah, so there's a whole, like, first look Dead or Alive. I edited my 5-hour stream down into, like, a 25-minute, like, first impressions video.
The Metacritic is giving it a 78 score as of right now, which I don't know how that's being weighed, because the user score is, like, a 4.5. Like, it's getting banged by the users.
Out of 100?
Yeah, out of 100. It's got a green mark on it
somehow. No, the 4.5?
Oh, no, I think that's out of 10.
Okay.
Oh. No, sorry. Yeah, the way Metacritic goes is that the critic scores go, like, based off of 100.
Okay.
And then the user score is a 4.5 out of 10. Interesting. Yikes. Yeah. No interest in playing this game on my front. Curtis?
It's really good, and there's going to be a free-to-play version of it.
Oh, well, now you're talking my language.
There you go.
Curtis, what have you been hearing in the FGC streets?
FGC streets, I mean, this past weekend was just the Nintendo Smash Invitational, and they did the Splatoon Invitational as well. Splatoon, not FGC, obviously, but Smash. So it's not the normal tournament. You know, it's amateurs, and some items are turned on. But I don't know. That was really the most recent thing.
Are we going to see DOA though hitting the FGC hard?
Oh, DOA. No. I mean, I think if we were going to see it hit, it would have shown up at Evo probably.
And they said nope.
Nope.
They said no.
Which so nobody should be Melee, fucking shocked
we're not
by.
Not doing DOA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nobody should have been shocked by that. You remember how we had talked previously about, like, they're desexualizing the game and, like, all that
right,
stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That was all bullshit.
Oh, no.
You play that game for 5 seconds and you're like, oh, they were full of shit. They straight up lied.
Did they do, like, a lot with, like, the jiggle physics and stuff this
time?
Oh,
yeah,
too,
it's still there. It's still there.
Oh, okay.
The costumes, like, they're just, yeah. They straight up lied. And I don't know why. Like, there was no win for that. They pissed off the people that want just boobs. They pissed off the 12-year-olds that play this game.
Right.
Or the 40-year-olds that play this game.
Yeah.
And then by not following through with it, they pissed off the people that were happy about them doing it. Just piss off everybody.
No win, yeah. I don't know why they did. I mean, and you know who your core audience is, or you know what you're willing to change about your game to say that you're not, and then, I mean, to say that you are and then you're not, doesn't make sense. And like I said, it's a game that has some solid fighting mechanics.
It really,
like, it's got
really
a nice
does.
Engine. But, I mean, I think that if they didn't do it on this release, I think it's always going to be masked by what people do or do not like about the aesthetic of the game.
And that's, like, that's the hard part is that trying to defend this game almost, or trying to explain to people that, like, if you can get past the sex appeal, if you can get past the fact that, yes, this was made by 13-year-old boys, it's a solid fighting game.
Right.
Like, this, the hold system in this game has always been so good and better than any of the other games that have tried to do hold systems.
One of the reviews here, and I think this kind of sums up, like, I've been kind of reading through the negative reviews from Metacritic, and I'll just read the first line of this one, who gave it a 0. Pandering to SJWs ruins games.
See, that's somebody that didn't play the game. They reviewed it based on the things that the company said before it released.
And then 3 paragraphs backing up why he believes he's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's 100%. Like, they pissed off so many people, and there's a bunch of, like, middle-aged fucking dudes that are like, I don't get to see tits in my game anymore? This is fucking bullshit. and they like lost their minds.
I like how they have Southern accents.
I love Alexander Bags, who joins the show every once in a while, where anytime sexuality in games comes up, he's like, why do people care? We have porn, everybody. Like,
right? Oh, that's
porn exists. Like, why do you fucking care if you can see extra cleavage? True. David Webb, you've been back on the stream grind.
I have.
What you been playing, man?
I think we all know what I've been playing. It's what everybody's been playing. It's what everyone's been talking about. Anthem.
Oh, yeah.
I just played a little bit of it.
But you did, because I saw you were online. Yeah. Actually, that's kind of the one I want to hear more about. How was it?
So, it's a very pretty looking game. I mean, I'm playing it on my cloud PC.
Oh, so like you are playing it on the Shadow.
Yeah. Sick. So it's like top of the line specs. I bumped everything up to Ultra. It looks very nice. Looks a little bit different than what they showed at EA.
A little bit.
I watched a comparison video today, and I go, that's why it was different. There's a scene where you in the video, you pull back a curtain and you walk into this market, and it's like just tons of people, and there's. There and are these NPCs, and like there's kids are like flipping around, and there's stuff everywhere. In the actual game, it's actually like a wooden door that you push open, and there's like 10 people there.
Maybe. Can I take a second to say something? Just
no,
a little.
No, you know what? Mute your mic.
I fucking called this years ago. You're all suckers.
But
wait a minute. How much did you pay for that game, David Webb?
Zero free dollars.
Exactly. We both got a homie who hooked it up, so we're not investing too much. I do want to play it.
So it's good.
Should I take a break from Apex to play it? Because that's the only thing. I have like a finite amount of time.
You know what? Maybe give up. Like, and so when you're playing Apex, which I'm gonna get to in a minute, because that's what I've actually been playing. When you're playing Apex, and you get to that point where you're like, okay, two more games, I'm gonna get offline. Skip those two games and go to Anthem. Don't give up Apex, but just
dilly dally.
Yeah. Okay. So like, it took me, I think 2 days. Actually 2 days, because I had to start from the very beginning. To get to like the title screen. That's how little I actually played it. But the thing that everybody and maybe I was going in with this expectation because I had read the reviews already, but everybody who said like, oh, this is like a lot of Destiny elements are in here. They're not wrong. Like, you know all the Destiny missions when you, like, you go in somewhere and then you put the ghost up and the ghost has to hack and he's like, okay, give me a few minutes.
Defend three waves.
You defend, yeah. That, like, the first actual mission that's not the tutorial is you're going from three different points and you sit there and you activate something and somebody on the other line is investigating it and then they're like, oh, this doesn't look good. Okay, follow the marker. We gotta go check one more thing. And then you gotta go there. The final thing is, like, you have to shoot enemies off as you're collecting pieces, and then you put them in this thing. It's very Destiny.
You hate to see it, man.
I kind of have fun with Destiny, so I'm not angry at it.
But the thing is, Destiny was Halo, so it felt like you were playing Halo, really. But this game, it is like flying robot mech things.
That's the one cool thing about it. The flying mechanic is really cool. You do kind of feel like Iron Man.
Destiny was Diet Halo, and Anthem is Diet Destiny.
It's Destiny Zero.
Destiny Zero.
Coke Zero
goes kind of hard, though. I'm not going to lie. I do like some Coke Zero.
You can you double jump up, and then you push a button, and like you go, and then like you hover there, and then like you take off, and you're flying through, and then when you land... Every time you land, you do that superhero.
So the only thing good about it is the flight simulator?
Basically. Apex.
Apex, though.
That's what I've actually been playing. Apex, back on the stream grind. Been playing Apex. I had a really big moment on Monday.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know, because I won't stop talking about it. I killed somebody with a Mozambique.
What?
Yeah!
That crappy gun?
Yeah!
The shotgun in the game, yeah.
So it was me, Steven, and Aaron. Me and Aaron died. Steven rezzed us both in the middle of a firefight. How they didn't kill us right off the bat is beyond me. We come back. We get into the... we're in the... not the swamp, but in the river. That river village. And, Steven gets right back into the fight. The only thing that I can find is a Mozambique with three shells. And they're like, "What? Where are you?" I go, "I only have I have a Mozambique with three shells,"
which basically means you have like nothing.
I'm better off melee. Yeah. And so they're like, just get in here. So I was a Mirage. So I did my decoy off one way, jumped out the top, went around the other side. The player was backing up and shooting my decoy, and I just went boom, boom, and I was like, "I killed somebody with the Mozambique! I killed somebody with the Mozambique!" Like, "Webb, shut up!" Because the fight was still going on. We died. Our squad got eliminated. But the key part of this is I killed somebody with the Mozambique.
I think the thing, if you're listening to this, if you hear my words, and you just want some basic tips on Apex to just not be a shitty teammate.
Don't listen to Corey.
Please. Please. The best thing you can do is, like, be aware of where your team's at. Please. Like, just don't run off one direction and get into a looting thing. If you see your team's slowing down, encourage them, go back, help out. And then if someone gets engaged on, in this game, you basically just have to drop what you're doing and head to the fight.
Yeah.
Like, get in the fight. Don't run away. If you have a sniper, unless you're a fucking great shot, don't try and post up and shoot from a distance.
Right.
Get into the fight.
Help
out. Because, like, if you're not there, you're just going to get mollywopped. The best teams stick together and call stuff out, like, with your pings even.
You don't have to get on the ping. Yeah.
Unless you're a horrible random and you break off of the two people that are on your team and you decide to land somewhere else and you get shot, in which case I'm not coming to
you. Deserve what you get. Yeah. I played a game today, my last one. I dropped my favorite spot. I don't even know what it's called. It's, like, that one circle spot. Where there's, like, some platforms on the top.
Thunderdome.
Is that Thunderdome?
Yeah.
Wait, is it?
It's like a perfect circle. It's like a cylinder.
Oh, no. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The pit thing. Yeah. And there's always purple armor right there in the middle. And, like, nobody drops there. If there does, it's, like, one team. And you just mow them down and move on.
Yeah.
I dropped there while these guys just ran off without me. And I was like, "Wait for me, guys. Like, there's good loot." And I'm pinging a bunch. I was like, "There's three body armors. They're not coming." So they pick a fight in my favorite spot, which is where I saw you play yesterday. You know that spot where you go down those stairs and there's rooms to the left and right? And then you turn the corner and there's more rooms? You saw that dude hiding up
Oh,
high?
Yeah. Tunnel, hydro tunnel.
I think it was, hydro tunnel.
Yeah.
I love fighting there. They got into a big fight there.
Oh, okay.
And I'm running as fast as I can to try and help them out. They die. There's two squads fighting. It was my most epic moment. Like, five kills.
Yeah.
Me versus two teams fighting in there. And all I have is a triple shot, no scope.
Oh.
And I'm just running through, just bam. Turning the corner, bam. There's a caustic in there. I ran through his smoke, bam. Fucked him up. My teammates were sitting there. I didn't res him.
Oh, what?
I was like, "I'm going John Rambo, bitch, because you guys let me." I said, "You might as well DC, because I'm not picking you up." Whatever. And they DC'd, like, instantaneously.
That's somewhat similar. Happened, I played and instantly dropped. Like, it was like, went to zero. The jump master dropped us. One guy, I don't know where he went. He broke off. I never saw him again. He died pretty quickly. The guy that I stuck with, he flipped a U-turn and went down, and I realized he was trying to take us into the ocean. He just wanted to see what happened. So I broke off and went back, and I see him die because it's the ocean. And then the other guy, I was like, "Fuck, all right, well, so I guess it's just
you
me."
Took a little page out of his book when we dropped twice and you fell off the level both times.
I hate you for bringing that up. And the first time, it was like my third time playing Mirage, and I'm getting close, and I'm like, "Oh, crap, I should throw a decoy." So I throw a decoy, and I, like, fat finger my joystick, and I...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're what now?
My thumbstick.
Oh, what? I don't understand.
That wasn't funny 45 minutes ago, and it's still not.
And I missed the little bridge, and I just go boom into the waterfall, and I was like...
And then he did it again, twice in like a span of 10 minutes. It was it was a good time.
I hate dropping there.
Fucking, I'm like, "All right, let's go, let's drop." And then I see Webb pick up, pick up Beacon. I was like, "What the fuck happened to you?"
I don't want to talk about it.
Favorite drop spot, Emma, go.
There's so many. I really like Hydro Dam. I really like Airbase. Airbase and Runoff are like the big ones if you're coming from that side. If you're coming from the other end of the map, Hydro Dam or Swamp.
I like Pocket Asian. And I play with Pocket Asian a lot. And Market is one of our go-tos. love Market, the indoor area. It's so, like, I don't know, just the fights there, win or lose, are always fun. Like, if you either win quick or you lose quick, and then you just jump into another one. Like, it's, yeah. I love Market. What about you, David?
I like Thunderdome, but it's always risky. But
that is a fun one.
If you get there quick enough and you're
there's
fast,
always purple
there's
armor.
Always good stuff in the center. There. Thunderdome's fun. Like Emma Airbase. Market. I don't like dropping in, but I like fighting in Market.
Ugh, such a fun game, man. Such a fun game.
Curtis, any day now.
Curtis, what you been playing, man?
Mostly just NBA 2K.
Hey,
that's it. I mean, it's getting close to the end of the Kings season. And, you know, I play on the Kings in NBA 2K.
Good.
So, yeah, I just, that's mostly what I've been doing. Just trying to get my character up. Like I said, Malik has been killing me in that game for so long.
Making progress?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely making progress. Yeah, no, like he came in while I was, he came in actually right before. I played a little bit. And he was watching me. He's like, oh, dang, okay, girl, he was like asking me questions, like, how'd you do that move? And then he was showing me some stuff. And then I ended up, he went to go play his career. He's got like three different careers. I'm like, bro, I'm struggling with one. How do you have three different careers?
Do they differentiate?
Well, he's got one where he's he's a shooting guard. No, he's a point guard in this one, and he's like already won the championships. So he just keeps simulating like the seasons
because
he's got like crazy good team. And he's got another one where he just made it. He's like a power forward. So he's going through that one. That one's brand new and fresh. And then he's got another one where I think he's like halfway through the season. He plays for the Lakers on that one because that's his favorite team. I don't know.
So that's his vanity one. It's his.
Yeah. Because LeBron couldn't do it, essentially.
They recently did the draft. Do you follow any of the competitive scene? Or
I do, but I didn't watch all of the draft. I just caught the highlight about the Kings guard, the Sacramento Kings NBA 2K team, and drafting the lady. But that was it. I haven't. Oh, and I watched a bunch of the. I did watch a bunch of the videos of the people that like did get picked because they're doing the NBA 2K stream on Twitch and the YouTube channel. They're doing a bunch of like really dope things, and they're really going in on making content for it. I think this is going to be the first big sport, like esports, but based on like a sport that is gonna really take off. They're putting a lot of money into it.
It's wild because I got a lot of familiarity with Overwatch League, and just to see kind of where they decide to spend the money and mm-hmm. where they decide to be stringent mm-hmm. is crazy different than it seems like the NBA 2K League, because the thought of them flying each of these teams every single week to New York to play and then back home and all those accommodations and stuff for that many people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Like,
and that's the thing. Like, the NBA is investing in it. So this is $1 billion, you know, just by itself, $1 billion business. So and that's the cool thing. Like, Adam Silver, like, he's all in for betting, and he continues to make strides on that. They just put a new feature inside of the NBA app.
Oh, you where can you bet.
Yeah, but it's called, you know, it's just called, like, predictions right now. but they're putting, you know, but there's a purse in there, you know. So he's doing a bunch of things. I think it really is going to turn into something big. But I will tell you, every time I watch, like, they put on a full production. EE,
my favorite caster of any game. Yeah, he's so hype.
From Smash to NBA 2K19, like, it's just a smooth transition.
And
he's
that,
incredible.
And they let him, like, loose.
Oh,
like
you could tell.
Yeah.
Like, he's full EE mode. Like, it's definitely, it's not Smash EE, but it's 100% EE.
Do you watch his streams?
Only sometimes. I catch him sometimes.
He's one of the most underrated streamers. He's finally getting caught up with, like, he has a few hundred now watching him when he goes live, and he'll just watch Maury Povich.
Yeah, like, when I tune in, last time he was watching, like, old MTV, like, dating shows, and just,
it's
like, roasting.
And he's a caster, and you just want to hear him commentate everything.
Heck yeah, dude. He can commentate my funeral, and I'd sit there and listen to it. Like, this dude's killing my eulogy right now.
Dude, so good. I mean, we could talk about what we've been playing, but we got to get to some more stuff.
Emma
is telling the news. We'll fix that in post. Wow. There's a little technical difficulties in the VGB studio. Emma Skies.
Did you make a record version of that? Is there a CD that's skipping? I don't understand what happened there.
I think Emma hates it so much that she somehow channeled that energy to disrupt the sound waves.
It was the feedback of the hate running through her headphones.
That's exactly
what only hope.
Emma Skies, what's in the news this week?
We got some Nintendo news for you guys that I don't know anything about. But
Wait. For the boys?
No.
Come on, Emma. Just one time. Call us the boys.
No.
All right. What's Nintendo doing?
Stupid shit. Let's be real. Yeah. Nintendo's doing stupid shit.
It's pretty bad.
Nintendo's bringing VR to the Switch.
Finally. It's about time.
With the Labo.
Hell to the yes.
Wait a minute. This could be good. Google Cardboard was a thing, right? People like that.
That nobody gives a shit about.
Legitimately said the same thing.
Yeah,
here's the difference between Google Cardboard and Labo.
Porn.
Here's the other thing. Labo and Google Cardboard. How much is Google Cardboard?
I think it's in the news. $80.
No. How much is Google Cardboard?
I think it's $19.99 for the kit.
At the most. Oh.
They promotionally give those things away. Like, they give those things away at conventions like vouchers. Crazy.
That's the thing. It's like maybe $20 on the high.
Yeah.
So VR is coming to the Switch for the main VR kit is $80.
That's some expensive cardboard.
That is some expensive card. You know what? This is the same. This is fucking deja vu. This is the same goddamn thing that we said when they put out the Labo in the first place. We're like, this is stupid. Nobody gives a shit about this. And why are you charging so much for cardboard?
I still can't get the strings on the robot thing.
It's so dumb. And now they're doing it. And they were talking about, they're like, oh, you know, we think there's so much potential with the Labo. And we, you know, we feel like we're not hitting the market that we want to hit. I'm like, yeah, there's no market that wants to pay that much money for cardboard.
You can't hit it because it doesn't exist.
Breakdancers.
So the main, there's like a couple different options. The main VR kit costs $80. And includes 6 different cardboard sets to build, VR goggles, a blaster, a camera, and an elephant.
I'm pissed it's $80 and you actually have to put something together.
Right?
Like for $80, that thing better be ready to go.
Like this needs to be like IKEA. I can pay more. I can pay the full price and get it made. Or I can get a little cheaper and make it myself.
That's right.
To spend a bit less, says The Verge, there's a basic starter kit that includes just the goggles and the blaster for $40. And you can buy additional accessories like the cardboard elephant for $20.
Jeez.
See, I love Nintendo, but that's the other thing that pisses me off is that you got to hold it. Like, it won't secure to your head so you can actually just, like,
it
freely
really?
Use.
Because in the promotional pictures, they're all just like, oh, this is so great.
When I looked at the promotional pictures, the only person that I saw that actually, like, had the one where it has the actual Switch unit in there was a kid, and he had to hold it up.
Oh, that's horrible.
He was holding it there. Yeah, all the other ones were like, all the stuff where you don't even have to really look into it. It's
and
weird.
This is just like my last bullet on this. Like I have like notes of it. And the first bullet is, yeah, that stupid cardboard thing they put out last year. And the last bullet is, who asked for this?
You know, that's funny
literally,
because
who asked for this?
The first tweet that I saw about this was in very much the same vein. It was like, oh, this was a surprise. But why?
It's
cool, like that you're surprising us with something new. Like no one saw this coming for sure.
Because nobody.
But why?
Why?
It failed already, and we talked about very similarly in the last episode when we talked about consoles, best and worst. One of the worst ones for you and Jay Gist was the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
Another Nintendo product, just a failed attempt at things, and Nintendo is the first one to experiment and go to their little treehouse and come up with some weird shit.
Yeah,
and I think they're okay when they don't,
because they have so much money, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they drink their own Kool-Aid. On this one, and this is what happens when companies like get a little too high on their own supply, for lack of a better term. Like you're so into this, you're so self-indulgent that you don't even realize like no one else really cares, except for the people that you donate this stuff to, so you could take promo pictures.
Yeah.
And then even still, they're going to be like, oh, okay. And
I haven't heard a single word about the Labo since we talked about it last April.
This was the first thing I heard.
I've just seen memes. Like, I haven't heard any reviews of it.
It's just people making fun of it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who even owns one. I just see, like, jokes online. Anytime anybody needs a cardboard punchline, there's A Labo meme.
I forgot it came out, actually. Like, when I was reading the notes earlier, I'm like, wait, didn't this come out already? And then she goes, no, that was just a Labo. This is, like, VR. Because I thought the Labo was VR.
No.
No.
It's, technically, if you wanted to give it a name, it could be AR.
Oh.
Yeah.
It could be augmented reality.
Yeah, slightly. It's just R.
Yeah. It's just
really
it's just
cardboard.
Fucking stupid is what it is. It's just stupid. Don't, for the love of God, do not pay $80 for cardboard. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it to yourself.
Yeah.
Have some dignity.
What else we got?
A discless Xbox One that we have discussed before on the show could be available as soon as May.
Ooh, before
E3?
Before E3. There's rumors that it's coming out in May and that pre-orders are going to start mid-April.
I think that's good. Only because I don't want them to waste time on it at E3.
Right.
So if it comes out beforehand then they're on the stage show, by the way, hey, remember this shit came out? Plug it for a second and then be like, all right, now here's all the games. Because they're apparently saying that they're going to go hard at this mm-hmm. E3 like they never have before.
Well, because now they don't have PlayStation to compete with.
Yeah, PlayStation's out.
Yeah.
And,
well, let's be honest. They were out last year.
Yeah. That was a joke.
They phoned that in.
That was a joke. What are people saying about this discless Xbox One?
I mean, there's not too much. Like, people are kind of, you know, nobody's clamoring for it, you know, it's going to be the next big thing, but nobody's hating on it either because it's just going to be a cheaper way to play the Xbox. What sounds cool is that also via The Verge, Microsoft is also rumored to be creating an option to ship this discless console. I can't fucking read. with games pre-installed. So new Xbox owners can choose the games they want installed before the console ships.
That's actually really cool.
So I wonder if that's like an online thing. You know, mm-hmm. you pick up your game or you put it in your cart and then you select from a menu of, you know, I want this, 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 and this installed.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That would be awesome if you could. Because then, like, the people who only have, like, you know, 2 gig download speeds. Like,
exactly.
They at least have some games that they could play. And then they can attempt to have, but they're not like day one, like, all right, great, I have to wait a week because it's going to take a week to download a 100 gig game. Like,
my mother, actually, because she's also into like games and stuff, she was in Afghanistan last year.
Yeah.
And her internet was like less than a meg. She was in like kilobytes per second. And she got, while she was there, she got Assassin's Creed. And it took her 7 days to install it.
Oh, my God.
Seven fucking days.
Think about that. That's AOL speed. That's dial-up. Nobody can make a call for 7 days because you're online downloading.
7 days for a game that's probably fun for 7 minutes. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, she enjoyed it. But the point there being, like, there are people out there that, like, you're right, like, can't install shit like that. So if you can have the option to have them pre-install it and then send it to you, that's a massive help. And that's going to help people that are like, I would like to get this, but I can't fucking install anything.
But, right. So, but then my question is, and I mean, like, this is just the direction that everything's going. It's been going like this for a long time. We got rid of the floppy, the old floppy disk, and we got rid of the little hard floppy disk and the CDs and blah blah blah. So we know streaming is the way it's gonna go. But even for the, like, okay, you get it and that stuff's pre-installed, but here's the thing, when the next game comes out, you can't go get it on disk, so you gotta wait.
Well, I mean, you can,
if you got the bad one,
you can still, like, you can still install things with it.
Yeah.
Well, you can still install after the fact, but if you have bad internet, you're still gonna be in that same for new games.
I think the idea is, like Webb was saying, like, when you get it, you don't have to have it sit there on your shelf for 3 days just looking at it before you can do anything.
Right.
With
yeah,
it.
You can crack it open.
It's,
you
more
can get to
day
work.
One,
yeah.
You can play stuff.
Yeah. I think,
and it's, oh, go ahead.
I think too, like, we're in an era, and I'm sure this is Microsoft. So they've done the research here, and they have, obviously, we've reported that their Xbox Games Pass has been a success.
Yes, and they're pushing that hard with this thing.
Yeah,
like, they're
they
gonna.
To. Yeah,
that's their thing.
I wouldn't be surprised, and it would actually boost its stock even more if it's one of those you buy this and you get like 2 years for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what?
I don't think they'd give away 2 years. They might give away like
maybe
3 months.
3 months? Yeah.
They might give away 3 months.
Try and get you hooked. But I mean, it's a tough sell. Like, it we'll see how tough of a sell it is to get rid to off a console without a disc drive based off of how much free Xbox Live they give you. Because,
well,
obviously the more
of
that goes off, the more they're going to get customers, right?
Well, yeah, and I think it's going to be, part of it is going to be based off of how much cheaper it is.
That too.
That's true.
Like, that's going to be a big, because they haven't announced anything yet about
the
price.
We don't know what the specs are, right?
We don't know the specs, but, like, the Blu-ray player in a game console is fucking pricey.
Ooh, yeah. And that's
and right. that's not in this anymore.
You can't play Blu-rays, and that's like that's still a selling point for me. Like,
yeah,
like and if it's not Blu-rays, it's 4K. You know, I wanted to make sure that the new Xbox, if I'm throwing down the money, mm-hmm. I want to be able to watch 4K because I got a 4K TV.
Like, right.
So how are you going to do that?
Now, so my theory is that it's probably going to be the same specs as the Xbox One S, just maybe a smaller form factor and cheaper.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool, though, because without a disk drive in there, you have extra space. If you could get the specs of an Xbox One X, but because it doesn't have that disk drive in there, you get it for the price of the One S. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you can upgrade the graphics and you upgrade, you know, the RAM and stuff like that, and even a bigger hard drive. Actually, now that I'm talking.
I think you're a genius.
I think I'm coming up with something kind of good in Microsoft. Listen to this. You just customize it. You build it out to what you want it to be. Because there's no disk space.
I remember we spent like a year talking about those Steam boxes. Don't you remember that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have one.
You basically just...
I have one.
You have
one? I do,
one?
Too. It's called a computer.
Because they got them... because they go on fucking super sale for the Steam sale. So I got a Steam box for like $20 and I got the Steam controller for like $15.
No, I think the Steam box you have, it can't be. The Steam box.
No, yeah, they go hell. It was like 90% off.
No, it was.
It's a legit computer? Or is this the thing that lets you stream your computer to a TV?
That.
Okay, this is something different. The Steam box was pitched as a console.
A console like for PC players.
Yeah. Oh. It was basically a PC scrunched down into a console box. And we talked about this for months on the show. I was fervently against it. I thought this thing was going to be the biggest flop in the world. And it turned out I was right. Go back and listen. You guys go back and listen. 100% true. What else we got?
I don't want to spend... I know we already spent some time on it already. I was trying to decide which one we're going to do next. But there is some Apex news.
Yeah, more Apex!
There is some Apex news.
We can just rush through them real quick, though.
So the easy thing to get through is they're slightly nerfing the Peacekeeper and the Wingman. Which the Wingman has been like... The pros are loving that shit.
Yeah, it's all... And you can thank Dizzy for that one because he makes that thing look like... Beautiful.
And they said they're like, you know, it's supposed to be like that. Like it's fairly, you know, to the specs that we want it to be because it has a higher skill ceiling.
Yes.
So it's not anybody can just pick it up and do that.
I had the coolest scene and I thought about clipping it, but I was playing and whoever I was playing with, they got into a firefight. And so I was running to catch them and I forgot what gun I had. I had maybe it was a shotgun in hand or whatever. And I went to go put that away, and as I'm running up, I reach behind and I grab my wingman, and like I do that swing thing. It was the most badass way to enter a fight, and
I just started
shooting. I felt like a freaking action.
You died, didn't you?
Probably.
It's irregardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the leaks for the new character?
No.
Yeah. So we got a lot of details. There was some data mining going on, and the new character's name is looks like it's going to be Octane. And he's a male character with, thank God, a smaller hitbox. More small hitbox characters in this game because I can't tell you how happy I am when I see a Gibraltar walking at me.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, too.
Smaller hitbox or hurtbox?
Hitbox.
Okay.
He's massive. But this Octane guy, he kind of looks like one of the bad guys from Borderlands.
Okay.
Like with a mask and stuff, like kind of wild looking. His passive is called Swift Mend. While not taking damage, Octane can restore health over time. Ooh, which is pretty powerful.
Oh, Jesus. He does look like he's from Borderlands.
Yeah, he does, right?
Yeah.
His tactical ability is called Adrenaline Junkie. You move 30% faster for 6 seconds, but it costs 10% of your health.
Mm.
And then his ultimate is a launch pad, a deployable jump pad that catapults your team through the air. So he looks like he's going to be pretty fun. He looks like another...
Isn't that a Fortnite thing?
It is. But seen Don't Fortnite stealing a bunch of shit from this game?
Yeah.
The respawn?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, Fortnite.
Fortnite stole the respawn system by making these little vans that are deployed. So if your teammate gets thirsted, like happens a lot, you're not thirsted?
Is that what they call it? Or is that just you being you?
Oh, my gosh. See, this is why I can't talk to console players. You don't understand the game.
No, I gladly don't understand the game.
Okay, when you down somebody...
I should have asked.
And
I don't care.
And you kill them immediately, like when you shouldn't, like there's a fight going on and you're just being stupid, it's called thirsting. So like if you get downed and the dude just kills you for no reason, you're like, oh fuck, I got thirsted. And it's kind of like a, I don't know, in Fortnite before the respawn system, it's kind of like a gentlemanly thing to do almost. Like when you're playing the game, you down somebody, you finish your fight before you go around and start killing and looting. Like you finish what you started. In this game, and people, when they did that though, if you got thirsted in Fortnite, you're fucking done. You had to quit. Like back out. You're not gonna sit there with these randos. In this game, let's say your boy comes back and clutches, he can take your dog tags and resurrect you.
Oh, okay.
That's never been seen before in the Battle Royale game. So now Fortnite stole that page for page. They just changed it up to their thing, and they're coming out with a competitive.
You mean this completely original game stole something? What? This boggles the mind. I am shocked.
Emma's savage.
The highest pitch I've ever heard Emma's voice go.
So the actual important part of the Apex updates that are coming are actually regarding what you said, hitboxes. They're changing that shit.
Good.
Okay. They are fixing that shit. So they said, so they were talking about the hitboxes, and they said the results for our small characters and our medium characters have all been really good. You know, they're solid, but our large rig characters are underpowered, and their natural size appears to be a large contributor.
Yes.
We're planning on adjusting the size of the large character hitboxes to better fit the models. If these changes are insufficient to bring them in line, we're also considering a range of other changes, such as natural damage reduction, as well as individual power kit tweaks. Because many of these changes are significant, we want to make sure they're heavily tested before they go live in the event that they're necessary. So basically, they're not releasing it right now. So they just had like a big update, or like a solid update that, you know, put in the new weapons or the new weapon changes, that is, and fixed a couple other, you know, disconnect issues. But they're like, this particular one is such a big deal that we want to make sure we get it right before we give it to you. So it's not rolling out just yet.
That's good. I mean, they're doing great so far. If this is super telling, I've been saying it on the show for weeks. Once they start doing their first balance changes, then we'll see how serious they are. Like,
yeah.
They can't screw this up like Realm Royale did. And they made things worse. And then everything I've heard so far has been positive. The patch is live now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So get on there, check it out, and let us know what you think on our Twitter, twitter.com/videogamebang. You can let us know your feelings, anything you thought on the episode. And if you'd like the show and you're watching us here on Twitch, please pull out your phone. I know your phone's right on you. It's been buzzing. You're probably watching the show on your phone. If it's an iPhone, you can go to iTunes and like the show. Give it 5 stars. Give us a positive little review there so more people can find the show. And if you are listening to this on your podcastular device already, you can watch us live on Wednesday nights around 8 and Saturday nights around 9. And you can interact with us just like our friends Germanic Ogre, Lost Sheep, Pocket Asian, Sparky Joe, Winchester, Rockstar. Thank you guys all for hanging out, contributing to the conversations. Emma Skies, what do you got to plug?
I will be streaming tomorrow before I go to see Captain Marvel.
Woo!
And that's actually it for the week. Thursday's my end of the week because I got stuff going on.
I'm excited for that Captain Marvel. That's going to be a good movie.
I'm going to cry. I'm so excited.
I'm even more encouraged. I know you stay away from reviews, but the only thing I've heard is that it just makes you want to see Endgame so much.
I will end you.
I'm not going to give no. I'm just saying that the only thing I've taken from the reviews is that it enhances Endgame somehow. That gets me excited. Wait, don't flip me off. I didn't do nothing wrong. David Webb, my boy, what you got?
I will not be streaming tomorrow, but I will be streaming on Friday. Twitch.tv/webslinger1.
My
Apex.
Man.
It's gonna be Apex.
Curtis.
Random 5-hour stream last night.
Whoa!
At like 11 something.
A 5-hour stream.
I know for me that's
damn,
like a lot.
Dude.
I know.
That's
like
a lot for anybody.
45 minutes to an hour. I think Pocket Agent came in there and was like, seriously, right now, seriously? yeah, so I'll be streaming more either tonight or tomorrow. Captain Marvel tomorrow, of course. Excited to see it. And I've checked out some reviews too, but I wanna know for myself.
Exactly, man.
So
exactly.
Me and my daughters will go and then I'll go again by myself.
I have something to promote for once. I got a little appearance going down at UC Berkeley. There is an esports mixer. I'll be a guest speaker. So if anybody wants to learn more, it's what's cool is they've got a lot of people from a bunch of different fields of esports coming together, and it's like a super casual thing for mostly for Berkeley students, but I think anybody could sign up and attend. And you just shake hands, make friends, and just learn about, because everybody's story who got into gaming and esports is different. Like,
yeah,
I have not met two people whose journey was the same, and all of it usually has to do with networking. So this is going to be a fun little event to come out, hang, and just hear some people's stories, shake some hands, kiss some babies. So yeah, we'll see you there. That's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. For Curtis Fisher, the real David Webb, Emma Skies, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.
Please don't kiss any babies.